Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, they're collecting that. Ushers are doing that. I'll just give you a little update here. Wanted to remind you that with the building fund and stuff like that, we're going to be doing it once a month. I haven't updated the slide. We're actually at about 21% of everything, the building being paid for and all the updates, so that's awesome. This last week, we had an oven installed. A fridge is coming this week. The exterior windows were, as far as caulked and stuff like that, were finished out. We purchased two computer monitors for the back. We got our first live stream video that arrived. Ron and Jan painted all the interior trim on the windows and got it all finished up. Took all the blinds down, put them back up, and all that stuff. So, thank God for that. Amen. Last week, we handed out 4 new believers books, packets. Praise God. And you heard this already, but we had the first men's breakfast, which was great. First youth group today, obviously. Believers meeting is the 30th. And then we got the first Wednesday night Bible study done also. Also wanted to say thanks to Mark and Kathy Dunn. Last night we had a worship team fellowship out at their house, and we had marshmallows from the promised land. They were the biggest marshmallows you've ever seen in your life. It took 2 men. Never mind. Okay. I just want to say thank you guys for giving and being a part. We are getting it done for the Lord. Amen. And so you say, what do we need live stream stuff for? Well, it's not for becoming famous, okay? It's for getting the word spread, amen? And so it'll be good. Well, let's finish up this series this morning, shall we? If you want to open to Matthew chapter 5, we'll start there. And we're going to get into some things today, so you might want to just put your seatbelt on. Amen. Some of it may make you happy, and some of it may make you go, oh, but that's okay. How many know God loves us and his word is here for an example to us, and it's for to correct us and teach us and instruct us, and there's so many good things in the word. But Matthew 5:13 is where we'll start. The Lord said this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Then he says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." How many of you know that is who we are? We are salt and light. So I'm going to have Terry come and share a testimony. I told him I would. He was sharing with me. And I just want, this is another way that God can move. You know, the closer you are to God, the more he'll talk to you about other people. Did you know that? People are like, I want him to be interested in me. He is interested in you, but you need to learn how to be interested in others. So I wanted Terry just to share this testimony. It's powerful.
Well, There's this Tina. I'll just call her Tina. That's her name.
Yeah.
Anyway, she works at Sherwin-Williams, and so I see her frequently, but when I go into Sherwin, I see her. And God has put her on my heart a few times. And this last time, I'd been feeling that I needed to pray for her and her pregnancy and her and her child, that there would be a safe birth for her and a healthy baby and, you know, all that. And so I went in there, and she was busy in an office with another person, and I thought, well, okay, Lord, you know, whatever, I'm ready. And so she gets a phone call, goes into where they mix the paint, and starts mixing, and nobody else is in there. So I went in there and said, "Tina, been feeling like I should pray for you and your up and coming birth and this kind of thing." And she says, "Oh, I would really appreciate that." So I did, just for health and that kind of thing. And it occurred to me that when I did that, and of course, I'm being led of the Spirit in this. I'm not just trying to, I don't have an agenda with her, you know, other than God loves you. So anyway, it occurred to me, and God is speaking to me, that when a person does this, the seeds and what's being whispered in that person's ear is, hey, Tina, this is God. I care about you. I love you. I'm interested in your life. And that's what I think happens when you're led by the Spirit and you obey and cast aside any fears or doubts that you have and approach and just in gentleness and in love. That's what God is whispering to that person. And she may, you know, everybody has a choice. So she may say, eh, I don't think she will. But she has a choice. But she definitely has an encounter in her, there's seeds in her heart being planted. And I think that, now let me ask you this. Who does God not think about?
Yeah.
Nobody. So everybody here knows somebody. Led of the Spirit, and it could be amazing.
Amen. That's so good. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you for it. Guys, and the reason why you say you have people share, I know, because your world has people in it. And sometimes we get so focused, it's easy to look down and not look up. I know the Lord told the disciples, lift up your head. Look, the harvest is white. It's there. And I know there are many people in here that could share testimony after testimony. I mean, I've prayed for people in Sherwin-Williams. It has nothing to do with Sherwin-Williams. It just happens to be the fact that the church is there. You say, no, that's Sherwin-Williams. No, we are the church. You are the church. You are the carrier of the resurrection of Christ. And if you're not so distracted by your way, what you have going on and all those things, and you're open to the Holy Spirit, I mean, He will speak to you where you're at. People say, well, I don't know, that would make me nervous. You got to get over your fear. Hallelujah. I said, amen. I said, fear is not okay to maintain and yield to that. Because the greater one who conquered all fear lives on the inside of you. Amen. And you say, well, I don't want to do it that way. Well, find the way the Lord wants you to do it and get after it. Amen? Because your life, your faith walk will improve so much. I mean, I know Terry pretty well. And anytime he does stuff like this, he calls people who will get excited or shares it. And he's excited. And he'll cry most of the time about it because that's what he does. That's how the Lord, he just cries. Because it touches his heart. But you know what? There's nothing like ministering to somebody and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through you to someone else. You know, sometimes I think in our natural, we think, well, it's if I just get this person to do this for me, if I could get this taken care of. But if you start doing something for somebody else with no strings attached, glory to God, you'll find a difference. Amen? It'll be the most, and you'll find out that along the way, God will just take care of you. How many have experienced that? You got to seek that kingdom first, amen? So anyway, I want to talk about a couple of things this morning, and they're exciting, and we're going to continue, even though we may get out of this particular series, I'm going to continue to have people share testimonies about what God's doing, because it's just so good. And but I wanted to read this out of Reinhard Bonnke's book, Evangelism by Fire. He said this, what is God saying to the church today? And then he said this, why is that a problem? Why do people ask that? He said, does God speak so inaudibly? He says nothing today that he has not said in his word already. Isn't that true? He said, I know one thing that God is saying. If our prophets are true, they will be voicing the same urgency as Jesus Christ and echoing the same great, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And so this is highly important. I know oftentimes people feel a dissatisfaction in their fellowship and faith in the Lord and in their growth in the Lord. And it's very simply oftentimes because they're not doing what they've been preached to about. They're not acting on the word. Satisfaction comes through doing in faith and acting out in faith what you've read in the word. So we've hit many different subjects. And I want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. And I just want to deliver a warning to you, a commission to you, but a warning as well concerning what will happen over this next few months and over this next year as we're moving into a new year. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting pretty close. And so I want to just give you a warning that I felt like the Lord gave me and set forth some scripture out of 1 Corinthians 10 that Paul said is written for our example, and it concerns the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt. How many have read that story before? How many know miracles are phenomenal? They're fun, they're exciting, they're amazing. And God has God will at times, as the Spirit wills, He will do things that just blow you away. How many have ever noticed that? And so we see this scenario being played out here, and what Paul's referring to as he's speaking to the Corinthians is simply this. He's talking to them about what happened when the Israelites were delivered out of Egyptian bondage, and he's going over some of the scenarios and things that took place and then rehashing some of the things that the Israelites did to bring a warning to the church saying, look, you better be careful. You don't want to fall into these same traps that the Israelites did. So in verse 1, we read this. Moreover, brethren, Paul says this, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who? Christ. But then he says this in verse 5, but with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, let me just help you with something right there. That does not mean that God went on a rampage and killed them all. Amen. People say, well, if you read it in the Old Testament, it kind of looks like that. But if you understand how Hebrew operates, there's a permissive and a causative in the Hebrew, okay? You say, what does that mean? That means it was actually written, God didn't cause them to die. God permitted their death based on the choice that they made not to obey Him. How many know this? I can look at you and say, please don't jump off the roof, because you're going to fall and you're going to hurt yourself. Don't, thou shalt not jump off the roof. Come on. But if you jump off the roof, what will take place? Does gravity go, oh, he's jumping, kick in? It's already there, right? And what happens? You jump out, there's nothing to stand on. What takes place? You go down, correct? And when you go down, what happens? If you're not, if it's a high enough roof, you could end your life, amen? But was that God ending your life? Because God wouldn't do that, would he? He wouldn't tell you to do that, would he? No, he wouldn't. And so, this is the same situation that you're looking at, the same scenario here in 1 Corinthians 10. It's not that the Israelites were necessarily just wandering around and God was like, well, I used to like you. At least I did when I delivered you from the Egyptians and got through. But I'm tired of you now. You're all going to die. God is not schizophrenic. Come on. He's not, that's not one of his names. Jehovah Schizophrenia. El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, I don't know what personality I am today. No. He's always love. But he has given us this very powerful thing called free will. And so that's what we have here. And so Paul's saying, look at these guys and pay attention, because look at what they did and what they got. Look at what they sowed and what they reaped. Okay? God will let you have what you want if you push for it hard enough. It's not that he won't put up signs. It's not that he won't warn you. It's not that he won't talk to you about it. It's not that even in the midst of you doing something that you shouldn't, he won't come to you and talk to you and talk to you and talk to you. But the end result on these things is based on the decision we make. Amen. Okay, praise God. Sometimes this isn't always the most fun, but it'll help you get things straightened out in your life if you heed it. Because the blessing of the word is we can look back and go, I don't want to do what they did. I'm going to do something different. So he says in verse 5 again, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. And very simply, that's because faith pleases God, and faith is essentially obedience. Okay? It doesn't say that God didn't call him his people anymore. It doesn't say that God didn't love him anymore. It says he wasn't well pleased with him. Amen. Okay? So in verse 6, we see this. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Verse 7, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. People say, there's no idolatry in America. Oh, Jesus, take the wheel. There is idolatry in America. Hallelujah. Praise God for his goodness. And he says this, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Well, that doesn't sound like some of America. Verse 8. Now, and he said, nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ. Who did they tempt? Christ. Do you see that? Christ was back there then too. He is the eternal one. He has been from the beginning. He has no beginning of days and no end of days. They tempted Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor what? Verse 10, nor what? We just say, Lord, but you don't understand where we're at. I can't complain. No. You can't. I mean, you can, but I don't recommend it because the Lord doesn't recommend it. Somebody laugh because we're going to get through this. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Who were they destroyed by? Who's the destroyer? Satan comes to kill, steal, and... Oh, okay. Now, all these things, verse 11, again, happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So, in other words, pay attention. Wake up. Verse 13, now you got to love verse 13. This is a verse that people like to quote. Sometimes they take it out of context, and they're not thinking of it in context. But in the context of what we're talking about, we are talking about overcoming the sins that the Israelites committed when they were in the wilderness. And it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is what? Common to man. But God is, thank God. Somebody say thank God. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, what will he do? He will also make the way of escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. There is a way of escape with the Lord. He always provides a way out. Always. He always provides a way out. My God always provides me a way out. My God always provides me a way out. Is your record broken, Sean? Yes. My God always. The CD is skipping, okay? My God always provides me a way out. I always have a way out. Why? Because he is called faithful. And there is no temptation that I'm facing today that I cannot overcome with the faithful God on my side. Amen. Okay? So now let's look at this and see if any of us fall into these categories of what took place. So first we know that the children of Israel are our example. And we see in verse 6 that they did what? They lusted after evil things. Do you know what the word lust means? It actually means to set the heart upon. You know, sometimes when we think of lust, we think only of sexual things. But in this case, it means to set the heart upon. In other words, you are fixing your heart towards something that God told you not to. You're lusting after something evil. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, this is a very interesting thing, and it is a little bit subjective in a sense in that I could have a desire for something that God placed in me to do that is not for you to do. And then there's also the natural flesh, just the nature of the flesh. The flesh wants certain things. And if you're not careful, the desires of the flesh, you can set your eyes, your heart upon them, and then begin to go after those things, and it's not the will of God for you at all. And then you find yourself in a place where the dominant desires of the flesh in your life are the thing that is controlling everything you do. You'll find that it controls the way you think. You find that it controls the way you talk. You'll find that it controls where your money goes. Amen. I lost 30 pounds. Did you know that? I shrunk. Yeah, praise the Lord, right? What did I have to do? I had to reset the desires of my heart. I had to set my heart upon something else. Broccoli. So by faith, you go, I love broccoli. Broccoli is better with bacon in it and and cheese, melted cheese all over the top. The problem is the 30 pounds that I had loved melted cheese. I had to set, when you set to lose weight, you have to set your money in a different direction. Less of it goes to Dairy Queen. I'm sorry. Dairy Queen stock goes down when the McFarland family goes on a diet. It just. You have to set yourself, you have to go after something that is different. But see, you say, well, why, you know, in order to get the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. People will do this. Christians will do this. I just don't know why I'm not close to the Lord. And really, they're practicing the definition of an insanity because they won't adjust their life to get closer to the Lord. Well, that's too easy, Sean. It's actually that easy. It's actually that simple. If you want change in an area, you have to set yourself upon that, what the Lord is leading you to do, and don't quit for nothing. Don't quit for nothing. So what did they do? They set themselves to something. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. I want to show you this. They lusted after evil things, and I want you to see this because some of what they lusted after was sins of the flesh in the sense of sexual sins. And so I want to look at some of this because the scripture's clear on it. Now, no matter what I go over here in the scripture, don't let the enemy put it in your mind that God doesn't love you, because he does. Okay? Because there's this thing in our culture about, if you love me, you'll just accept me and everything that I do. Well, what if you're a thief and you're constantly stealing money from me? Do I have to accept that too? Come on. Come on, think. What would love do to a person who is in that position of constant? You'd look at him and go, look, I love you, but you need to quit stealing. That's going to cost you. Because what happens is people get entangled into different kinds of sins and things like that, and the world's thinking comes in, and they begin to negotiate with God's word about things, and then they begin to accept things into their life that God had no intention for them to accept. Here's the interesting thing about sin. Even if you legalize it through the U.S. government, God does not change his mind. You may get a court to agree with you, but the High Court of Heaven does not submit to the Supreme Court of the United States ever. I think that point went across well. And people say, well, God, why does God, the wages of sin is death. It is that way. Well, I've gotten away with this for so long. Warning, stop now. And this is part of my message this morning, because when I was praying on Friday morning and writing all this out, the Lord said to me, He's going to deal with people in here about things in their life that they need to adjust. And it may not be major things, guys. It may be little things. But if you don't adjust them, the harvest is coming. And it's not that God's going, yeah, I want them to harvest that bad. It's that he's saying, hey, wake up. You're sowing and watering something that is going to produce a harvest, and you don't want to harvest it. And people say, well, I want to quit, but believe God, there's more than enough power. We just read it. There is no temptation that is taking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will what? Provide a way of... Somebody say, I'm going to escape. Amen? So what happens with people, and this is what the children of Israel did, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 says this in verse number, let's go to verse 18. It says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. His what? Invisible attributes are what? Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. You can understand God by the things that are made. People say, no, I understand evolution. No, you understand God by the things that are made. I'll help you with something. These gentlemen that think that you've ruled God out in all their study of science, you know what's going on while they're studying all this, right? They're gathering evidence for the day of judgment against themselves if they don't repent. When you look into a microscope, when you look into something that is scientific, and you try and escape the reality of the intelligence of design inside of that, you are willfully suppressing the truth and saying, there is no God, and God's going, hi, right underneath the microscope. He's saying, I'm here. Isn't God good? He just keeps saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. And people suppress and reject it. Don't try and shove your message of Christ down my throat. And the message of Christ is simply this. Christ died for you. He loves you. He made you. He created you. The identity that you're searching for, he already has it from before you were born. And if you'll submit to it, he'll bring you to the place of experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I think I'll take that. So he says this. He says, because although they knew God, what did they do? Not everybody that rejects God, it doesn't mean they don't know him. Hello. There are those that just hate God. They just hate him. And then he says this, for because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. There's the key. Nor were they thankful. Ooh. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God for an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to, what did he do? He gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a... and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I like what Paul adds there. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman. Now, if I need to explain to you in detail what this means, you can come see me afterwards. Okay? But what did they do? Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for what? One another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their what? Error. Does it say that God did that? No. The wages of sin is... Okay. And even as they did not like to retain God, in, what did they not want to do? Do you see how clear this is? Do you know what the Israelites did? Think about this, guys. They saw God have insects come out of the dirt. They saw rivers go from water to blood like that. They saw frogs appear all over the place in a short amount of time. They saw locusts come in such a horde that it just absolutely destroyed all the crops of the Egyptians. Think about this. It was night on the Egyptian side and day on their side. Like you could literally, if this was the dividing line between where the Israelites were and the Egyptians were, it was dark to a wall and then it stopped. And then it was light on the other side. You could have walked down and put your hand out and touched that dark on the other side. It was so dark the Egyptians could not move. They couldn't even get out of their house to move. That's dark. In the middle of the day? And they saw this, and then they get delivered, and then they have all the silver and gold from the Egyptians. God's like, take all their money too. Go ahead, you can have it all. And they saw all these things, and they're leaving out of Egypt, and they get up to the Red Sea, and they whine at God. You're gonna kill us all. After he did all that? Come on. What is that? That's not retaining God in your knowledge. And then he splits the Red Sea from him, go up there, and he does miracle after miracle after miracle, and the children of Israel did what? They rebelled against God, and they didn't go into the promised land. Well, I don't like this word, Sean. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Come back next week. Maybe there'll be a different one. It's not my word either. It challenged me. It challenged me. Those people wandered in the desert, and they went around. And around and around. Why? Because they didn't retain God in their knowledge. They didn't maintain the reality and meditate and think about the things that God had done for them and say, God, you are faithful. You know, when challenges come up in our life, it's not time to fall and yield to the lust of the flesh. How many have noticed that whenever the pressure gets on, then the temptation of the flesh comes up? Well, I don't deserve this. I deserve a gallon of ice cream. With chocolate. Well, I know I got delivered out of all that stuff, but this is too hard. And the evil comes to tempt. And in the midst of that, that's when we need to go, I'm going to retain God in my knowledge. Lord, I remember when you split the Red Sea. Come on, I remember when you saved me. I remember when you delivered me from this. I remember when you brought this answer to this prayer that I had. I remember when you sent so-and-so to encourage me when it didn't look like I was going to make it. You are faithful. In the midst of terrible circumstances, in the midst of when everything feels like it's falling apart, that's the exact time we need to stand up and go, we're taking the promised land. And people say, well, yeah, but I don't feel like it. We'll stand up and we're taking the promised land. We're going to do it. And turn those tears into shouts. We're going to make it all the way. We're going to overcome. We're going to do what God has called us to do. And people say, well, what if we don't do that? Then you'll die in the wilderness. No amens on that. A few head nods, you know, it's probably true. It's a guarantee. And you say, and people try this because they function in too much spiritual immaturity. They'll make statements like, well, God just doesn't love me. The question of God's love is, there's no question of it. Jesus came and died. It's over. You might as well throw that devil question out, that statement out, because that's birthed out of hell. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That is settled forever. There is no question. God, nobody, and sometimes people do this, they get it in their heads that God's a certain way, and they think, if I could just have an audience with God. Read Job. and find out how well that worked out for Job. Job came to a conclusion quick. I know nothing. I am sorry. Now. Have mercy. I watched a video a few years ago on YouTube about a gentleman who was in Mexico doing some work, and he was a contractor, and he either ate something or drank the water or something that he wasn't supposed to, and it killed him. He died. But he wasn't living for the Lord at all. And then he came back afterwards and shared this testimony. He got born again after this, but he went to the throne of God. And he didn't have a strong religious upbringing or anything like that, but he was at the throne of God and he knew he was going to hell. All the arguments that people come up with on this side of eternity are nothing. You will not stand before the one who looks through you like a plate glass and go, well, if you would have done this, God, if you would have, you better be careful with that. I'm just warning you now. Because I don't know if you've noticed, nobody gets out of this thing alive. Nobody does. And we will stand before him. And when that truth settles in, we got to look at these words. We got to understand where these people were at. We got to go, I don't want to do that. Okay, that's good. And I don't want to do that. And that's good. Because they're written for our example so we don't miss out. Not to mention, glory to God, the other side of this. That God does not just want us to enjoy heaven when we die. He wants us to enjoy heaven now. People say, well, you get excited about this. This is real. This is not some fairy tale. Peter Pan may stir your emotion, but this will get down to the very core of who you are. This is eternal. This word has healed my body. This word has delivered my family. This word has prospered me financially. This word has taken me from hell to heaven. Come on, he's given me peace of mind. He's taken me from the dunghill to sit with princes. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He rules forever. I'm not living a fairy tale. When my day comes to be done on this earth, I will look back and go, we did it, Lord. Let's get out of here. You say, what are you going to do then? Whatever he wants to do for eternity with a lot of my family, natural and spiritual. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'll tell you what. Well, you get too excited about that, Sean. Well, it beats getting excited about some natural thing. We'll see how excited you get. Jesus walks into your room. Come on. Don't lust after evil things. Secondly, this. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 5 says this. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Colossians 3, 5 says the same thing. So does 1 Corinthians 6, 9. You've got to watch out for idol worship. Right in connection, it says that they rose to eat and to play. How many know eating and playing is a huge idol in America? Well, I got to make sure that we do everything fun and everything fun under the sun. You better make sure that your family knows God. And people say, we only get one shot on this planet. Yeah, and after you're done on this planet, it's eternal. So you better make sure you do what God asks you to do. Amen? And you will not miss out on one thing when you give it all to God. There will be no dissatisfaction by the time you're done. Come on, I've been, as a minister, by people's bedside when they're about ready to go to heaven. And you know what I see more than anything? I hope I did everything I was supposed to do. These are born-again believers. I hope I knew God. Listen, it's our opportunity. This is the span of time that we have. This is the age of grace that we've been given. God did not go, oops, Sean was born. How did he get past there? Michael Gabriel, come up with a plan for him. He's had a plan for you long before you were ever born. People say, well, how do I find out? You better spend time with him and seek him and pray. Amen? So you don't want to be an idolater. You want to watch out for things creeping in. And you're getting at the end of your week and you're going, there's not been any true significant spiritual fellowship and relationship with the Lord. Whether it's with you, of course, personally, but then as it graduates and trickles down through your family. And in your workplace, in every area. You are salt and light. You are salt and light. And then it said, and then thirdly, tempting God and Christ. The Israelites tempted or tested God by not believing or trusting in him. If you stop to think about this, it is very dangerous. God had just done miracle after miracle to deliver them from the Egyptian bondage, and now every time a need arises, they begin to abandon God. They act like God has done nothing for them and has no ability to help. This is where many in the church are today. God in his mercy has performed many miracles in people's lives, and then when the slightest need comes up, they question if God is even there anymore. We need to stop this unbelief. Amen. In its tracks. Numbers chapter 14 verse 22, just write it down. It says, because all these men who have seen my glory and signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. Verse number 23 says, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. Verse 24, come on, this is good. But my servant Caleb, because he was of a different spirit. He has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Come on, say, I have a Caleb spirit. I obey fully. Come on, people have a hard time saying that. Because they think, well, last week I made 9 mistakes in 1 10-minute period. Say it with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I obey fully. Yeah. That's who you are. You be clean, brother. Sister. By the blood. So don't tempt Jesus. Don't tempt him. Don't test him. Don't go, well, you did it last time, but you know, maybe it's not God's will. Stop looking to your circumstances to determine God's will and look to the Word. You get in the middle of your circumstance and you go, shh, shh. Come on. But people say, well, that's not in the Bible. Yeah, Paul said you have a sword of the Spirit. But if he'd have been around today, he'd have said you have an AR-15 of the Spirit. Let her fly. Open it up. Come on. Sit. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just sit there and wait for them devils to pop their head up. We do it at Terry's house with ground prairie dogs. Gophers, they pop their head up. Pow! You know, gone. Just like that. They go meet gopher Jesus. I don't know. They go to gopher heaven. Lastly, but certainly not least, complaining. The word complain means this, to stop. Isn't that interesting? By implication, to stay permanently. What do complainers do? Their spiritual growth just goes, and they just sit there. Have you ever met them? Oh, I've met them. Oh, Jesus, I just want to lay hands on them. Shake them a little bit. You know, I'm just like, well, I went to this church and they didn't do this, and then I went to this other church and they didn't do that. And how long have you been saved? Oh, you've been saved 20 years longer than me. You've been saved 20 years longer than me? And you're still in this place? And people say, but it was legitimate. I know, I've been legitimately hurt in the church. But I legitimately forgive and go on. Why? Because I still have a call. Come on, church. There's still greatness in you. And unforgiveness will do nothing. And complaining will do nothing. Because you just drop right in your spiritual tracks where you're at. And you won't be able to move and get out. And people will come by and go, you need to forgive. And people that have a lot of unforgiveness go, they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. You're just hurting yourself. The person that hurt you doesn't even know they hurt you. They're fishing. And you're over there going, God, show them what they did. And God's going, you forgive them and go fishing. Move on with your life. One verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and disputing. You say, Sean, but how can we have the hope? How can you be sure of these things? Because God said it and I believe him? Well, that's just not enough for me. Well, then you're going to be a hurting unit. Stand with me, please. You're going to be a hurting unit. Why? Because God is God. He does not, do you realize this, that God does not sit in heaven and go, what do you think they want to do? Did you know that there's no openings in the Godhead? I'd like to submit an application. I'd like to be the fourth person in the Trinity. God's not looking for suggestions. He's looking for humility. He's looking for submission. He's looking for us to go, God, all of it is yours. Take it. Do with it what you want. And if you're bored, just pray that and then do what he tells you. Your Christian boredom will end. That's a contradictory terminology, Christian boredom. Because really, if you understand who Christ is in you, you're not bored. You've got plenty to do. Amen? Now I'm going to raise my hand in advance. How many people you could fit into one of those categories at one point? Come on. Let's do this. Let's repent right now. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the anointing of God. I just thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, God. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. So, Father, in those areas where you've shown us this morning, Lord, we repent. First of all, I am sorry, Father, for yielding to those things. Lord, by your grace, I receive mercy to cleanse in these areas of my life. I receive that right now. And Father, by your grace, I receive strength to overcome in these areas. And Lord, most importantly, by your grace, I will not quit. Come on, say it with me. I will not quit by the grace of God. I am growing, I am getting stronger, and I will fulfill every part of the will of God for my life. I am anointed as salt and light in this world. I am anointed to lay down my life for my King and for others around me, to be a blessing, to love them and forgive them the way Christ has loved me and forgiven me. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing it. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying this to us, that as you give more to me and yield more to me, I will increase you on all sides. The blessing of the Lord will increase in manifestation in your life. Some have run for a long while and they haven't seen certain things that I have promised them. But the Lord is saying, as you continue in my way and follow, I have forgiven your past and it is gone. It is gone. Don't remember it. Don't think about it. Don't let the devil harass you about it. But as you continue to move forward, as you continue to face the giants, as you continue to look at the circumstances and situations that are in front of you, and you attack them and approach them with my, in cooperation and conjunction with what I've said about you and my leading, you will see greater and greater and greater manifestations of my power in your life as a church and in your life individually. Father, we receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.